Welcome to the Deep Dive. We pull apart complex research, sift through the jargon, and deliver the crucial insights you need for a truly informed perspective. Today, we're taking on a really powerful piece of analysis. It's rooted in the work of Rob Van Linde, drawing heavily on observations from science journalist Ranga Goswar about, well, systemic issues within Germany. And we're going to start with the central, pretty provocative thesis right up front.
Let's do it.
The idea that there's a lack of drive or a slow pace in Germany, you know, in digital transformation or innovation, is just fundamentally wrong. The source argues the problem is not a lack of motivation. It's that the system itself has successfully and meticulously administered that motivation right out of existence.
And that is the critical core distinction we are unpacking today. We're looking at a society that is, as the source puts it, system tired, not inherently lazy or unmotivated.
Right.
And for you, the listener, it doesn't matter if you're in Berlin or Dawson, this analysis is sort of a shortcut to understanding the difference between an individual failure, which is what we love to blame.
Oh, always. It's the person's fault.
And a structural output, which is the actual mechanism at play. Our mission here is to show how that institutional culture can really smother ambition, and not just in Germany, but globally.
Okay, let's unpack this, because when we hear complaints about, you know, slowness or caution, the natural assumption is, well, people just aren't trying hard enough.
Right.
But you're saying the symptom we see, that perceived lack of initiative, is just the predictable response to a kind of a broken reward system.
Precisely. The system, because it's evolved over decades, has become incredibly good at one thing: administrating reality.
Administrating reality. What does that mean?
It means ensuring everything is correct, documented, compliant, every I is dotted. But in doing that, it's lost the ability to design the future. And design requires speed, it requires risk tolerance.
The very things the system actively punishes.
Exactly.
So how does this actually work on the ground? What are the specific, maybe silent signals that cause motivation to just evaporate for a really competent employee?
It's the constant misalignment between the effort you put in and the outcome you get. Think about the inverse correlations that just become, you know, institutional gospel over time.
Okay.
A manager sees that if they show real initiative, say, to improve a process, it doesn't lead to extra impact or reward. It leads to weeks of mandatory coordination loops and a mountain of extra work.
So they quickly learn that initiative equals a personal penalty.
A penalty, exactly. And critical thinking, especially if it challenges the status quo, that's not seen as leadership. It's flagged as a risk.
And experimentation.
That's a liability, not a learning opportunity. And speed. Speed is the ultimate danger.
Why? Why is speed so dangerous?
Because speed implies you might have skipped a mandatory check. You might have missed an approval step. It suggests a lack of thoroughness in a culture that prizes thoroughness above all else.
This sounds like a system that is perfectly optimized for self-preservation, but just terrible at evolution.
That's a perfect way to put it.
So, can you walk us through a quick example? Let's say a motivated employee sees a clear path to use digitalization to save their department a ton of time.
Okay. So, in a fast-moving culture, a startup, that idea gets a quick pilot test. Maybe within a week, you're trying it out.
Mm-hmm.
In this highly administered environment, that employee immediately runs into tripwires. First, they need approval from IT, then legal, then the works council, then maybe a security committee.
And for each one, they need documentation.
Comprehensive documentation showing zero risk. So after 6 months of meetings and slide decks, that small innovative idea is either bloated into this unmanageable project, or more likely, the motivated employee just quits trying.
And after going through that cycle once or twice, they learn the lesson.
The lesson is crystal clear. If you want a quiet, successful career, do not disturb the consensus. After years in that environment, people aren't lazy. They are highly strategic. They become extremely careful.
And careful people, as the source points out, they look compliant. They look like they're saving energy. They don't look motivated. That structural caution, it leads us right into the cultural DNA that underpins all this, which the source describes with this wonderfully loaded phrase, Gymprosisch genormt.
This is where we get to Germany's core genius and its core challenge, all in one. That phrase, din Prussian standardized, it refers to a cultural obsession with standardization.
Okay, so DIN is the German Institute for Standardization, right? They set all the technical standards.
That's the one, globally respected. And the Prussian part refers to that historical, deeply ingrained value placed on absolute order, bureaucratic correctness, following procedure to the letter.
So it's not just a technical thing. It's almost an ethical commitment to being correct.
It is. The priority is always standardized, certified, regulated, documented, insured, and approved, usually by multiple committees. And for some fields, this is non-negotiable success fuel.
And we have to emphasize, this is where that culture works beautifully. It gives Germany a massive global competitive edge in some areas.
It creates world-class reliable excellence. Think about mechanical engineering, safety-critical infrastructure, automotive quality, mass production where any deviation is costly or even lethal. Nobody designs a better machine that executes a plan reliably, predictably, and with impeccable quality.
But okay, hold on. The source argues this is also the fundamental thing that holds back future-focused industries.
Yeah.
This standardization, it brings efficiency. So why should they change a model that's worked so well?
Because the economy is shifting. It's moving from one that rewards reliable excellence to one that rewards agile innovation. Standardization demands predictability.
And the future is anything but predictable.
Right. Fields like digital transformation, AI adoption, human creativity, they all thrive on ambiguity, on speed, on trust.
So the standardization mindset is trying to apply a kind of machine logic
Yeah.
to things that are inherently human or emergent.
Exactly. You can't audit an algorithm that hasn't been written yet. You can't regulate a creative solution into existence. The framework is designed to eliminate risk, which, by its nature, eliminates rapid learning. And the source has this beautiful summary of the tension. It says, "You cannot norm curiosity. You cannot certify intrinsic motivation. You cannot regulate adaptability into existence."
Wow. The moment you force a standard onto innovation, you
Well,
kill the innovation. You're just left with the standard.
that's it. You're left with the process.
And that feeling of moving through layers of bureaucratic friction, it brings us back to the human element. For people who have worked in high-speed, high-trust places like Scandinavia or the U.S. startup world, what's the immediate difference they feel when they come back to this high-compliance culture?
It's the operating default. In those high-speed environments, trust is the default, and failure is treated instantly as data, something you have to analyze to get better.
Whereas in the high compliance world,
Lack of trust is the default, and failure is treated as disgrace, something that has to be prevented at all costs, usually with, you guessed it, more documentation.
so returning must feel.
It feels like switching from broadband back to dial-up. You know the speed is possible, you have the ambition, but the process, the infrastructure, it just prevents you from ever reaching that velocity.
And that pervasive culture is baked into the workforce right from the start, which brings us to the education system. Our analysis points out that German schools still operate on a kind of industrial logic.
It's a very powerful legacy. The system is optimized for uniformity, for comparability, for batch processing efficiency. It's designed to produce reliable, interchangeable units for a 20th century factory or office.
So what are the actual behaviors that children are taught to internalize? What's the output of that system?
They're taught to conform above all else. Sit still, deliver exactly what's expected in the curriculum, don't challenge the methodology, and most critically, do not make mistakes.
Mistakes are penalized.
Severely and publicly. Now, this training isn't malicious. It's designed to build endurance and compliance. You are trained to fit the mold.
And when that highly trained conformist enters the workforce, they don't just magically transform into a bold, disruptive innovator.
And that's the tragic result. We act surprised when these highly intelligent adults who spent 16 years being penalized for any deviation then avoid responsibility,
Yep.
wait anxiously for permission, fear change, and dedicate their energy to protecting the status quo.
They're just doing what they were trained to do.
Precisely. In an environment that rewards adherence over agency, the core conflict now is that the world operates in ambiguity, complexity, non-linearity. But the system is still training people for a perfectly linear, predictable existence.
So how can you win the AI race when your learning system treats deviation as a liability?
You can't. The real difficult learning for these individuals, it only starts after they finally leave that rigid system behind. They have to unlearn their entire structured existence just to become adaptable.
This leads us to what the source calls the hidden tragedy, which is so crucial for you, the listener, to understand. The talent is absolutely there.
Yes, it's essential to repeat this. The German people are highly educated, technically capable, ethically engaged, curious, and genuinely willing to learn. The raw material is world-class.
So the problem isn't the individuals, it's the operating environment they get dropped into. Why does that inherent motivation get suffocated?
Because they're in environments where accountability is diluted across endless committees. where decisions take forever because of coordination loops, and where innovation isn't a mindset. It's a temporary, discrete project managed by a separate team.
You see that with digitalization, right?
Yep.
It's still often just seen as an IT topic.
Exactly. It gets siloed, managed by procurement rules, instead of being embraced as a core, high-speed business transformation imperative.
And the international contrast just makes it so painful.
It provides the painful clarity. If you look at those fast-moving cultures, their foundational assumptions are completely inverted. Responsibility is real and it's pushed down. Trust is given immediately, not earned over decades of flawless compliance.
And most importantly,
risk is distributed and failure is immediately metabolized as data for the next try.
That structural difference in metabolizing failure, that's key. In a high compliance culture, a mistake is a career-defining failure. In a high-speed culture, a mistake is just the fastest way to get data and eliminate a bad path.
And that speed difference is why that dial-up analogy resonates so much. When you know high-speed learning is possible, operating under the systemic inertia where every single step needs 3 approvals and a stamped form is just exhausting. You are constantly fighting the gravity of over-administration.
Which brings us to our final section, why this all matters right now, and why speed is starting to trump compliance in the modern era. The global pressures, AI, digital platforms, ruthless competition, they mean the luxury of getting perfect consensus over speed is just, it's vanishing.
The brutal truth, synthesized from the sources, is that the nation doesn't suffer from a talent deficit. It suffers from a pervasive control obsession and a fear-based safety culture. Institutions consistently confuse stability, which is keeping things the same, with sustainability, which is the ability to change fast enough to survive.
And if you look at what psychological safety and real motivation need, things like purpose, autonomy, trust, speed, meaningful impact, and you contrast that with what this administered environment offers.
Procedures, approvals, committees, correctness.
And endless coordination loops. Mm-hmm. It's a perfect design for slow bureaucratic churn.
And churn does not win the future. You cannot inspire people to disrupt their own markets by handing them a 400-page process diagram.
It's just not going to happen.
The question for the next decade is going to fundamentally change. We can't afford to just ask, are we compliant? Are we correct? Those are necessary, but they're not sufficient. The real question for success will be, are we fast enough to learn?
And getting that speed requires a massive, probably painful, cultural decision to stop prioritizing the avoidance of risk above the pursuit of actual impact.
Exactly. Learning is not a regulation problem. You can't fix it with another DI and norm. It is a profound cultural decision to shift from compliance to agency, from caution to curiosity. And until that shift happens at an institutional level, all these talented people will continue to engage in a kind of quiet resignation.
A resignation that gets mistaken for a lack of ambition while the world just accelerates right past.
Mm.
So the main takeaway for you, the listener, this analysis provides a really potent frame for viewing organizational drag. The sources show Germany is being fundamentally over-administered, and this leads to a quiet resignation in its most talented people.
Now, consider this final provocative thought for yourself. If this dynamic mistaken compliance for ambition can stifle innovation in a powerhouse nation like Germany, where might this exact structural inertia be playing out in the institutions and companies you encounter every day? What invisible system in your own workplace is currently making you choose to be careful instead of innovative? That's the deeper dive we encourage you to take.